in the life, the human being, during his or her life, a human being faces different circumstances, different phases, different scenarios a person goes through, and he doesn't live a constant phase. Yeah, sometimes it's a certain phase, sometimes it's a different circumstance, sometimes it's a different challenge. And the reason for this in reality is that the circumstances that arise in a person's life, that give birth in a person's life, and there's a reason for this. Sometimes there's illness, sometimes there's distress, sometimes business issues, sometimes illness at home, sometimes this problem, sometimes that problem. Thousands of different issues that confront a person in life, during life. And the reason for this is one that the pious elders have stated, and this is in the light of the hadith, that circumstances don't come automatically on their own. Rather, the reason for this is that those people who disobey Allah, who commit sins, the effects of those sins continue to be felt during that person's life. We don't feel this or realize this, but when a person commits a sin or he disobeys Allah, then that same time in his life, the effect takes place. The effect takes place. If a sickness comes, suddenly a problem occurs, or to be fine, and we think, oh, this was not to happen, and then to hear something which is bad news, or to go through some bad phase. There are disasters that, for example, come to a person's life. And the reason for this is this, that our sins, where a human being disobeys Allah, the effects of that disobedience start to take place. And what do we do then at that place, at that time, when such conditions arise or circumstances go negative? Then we try to cure those in an incorrect way. We say, oh, it's due to this problem, this occurred, it was this problem, this could have happened, that could have happened. Thousands of excuses. We try to control or solve our issues with our own formulas. And then that problem gets worse, because if a person doesn't take all of the root cause of an issue, then he cannot fix the problem. Rather, the problem will get worse. It will multiply. For example, somebody's business is not running. You say, no, the reason for this is this, that I didn't put this stock in. You say, no, the reason for this is because this occurred. And then to increase or to fix the problem, he'll go towards more haram, or he'll try to unlock certain doors that he shouldn't, and he goes worse into the problem. So a person's always surrounded by that cyclone of problems. Always surrounded by the cyclone of problems. And the reason for this is that insan is due to the sins that insan falls into the problems. Due to the sins. Due to the mistakes made. And he's always surrounded by the issues, and poor conditions or poor circumstances continue to revolve around that person. So the cure for this is one, that the servant of Allah should go towards Allah's obedience. He should reject sins, he should leave disobedience, leave sins. And a person cannot do this if he does not have the understanding in his heart that this is the reason. There are two reasons. That we don't have yaqeen in this, that Allah Ta'ala can give the punishments, Allah can give problems and distress, and sins can take the form of problems, of difficulties. The reason why I'm saying this is that small, big, however many sins there are, a person should always be cautious with regards to the sins. And the sins, disobedience of Allah, they give a person problems in this world and the hereafter. This world and the hereafter. They may seem minor, but they are very major points. And when a person's heart is made and his heart is improved, then a small sin will seem a very big sin to the individual. The reason is because our hearts are not correct, and due to our hearts not being correct, we don't understand or define sins as sins, and we carry on doing the wrong. There was an event narrated in Abu Dawood, a hadith, that Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu both were present, sat down, and they started to speak, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, Umar, that this group is passing by or going. Now for that group of people, I'm thinking that an emir, a leader should be selected. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu replied, no, we don't need to select an emir or a group leader. He gave the answer. And it was a very good discussion taking place. Great Sahaba, great Sahabi, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu then said, he smiled and said, looks like Umar, you have these words that you have stated are due to opposition to me. Then Hazrat Umar, he was silent, and he said that I couldn't even imagine that I speak in opposition to you. And he felt that. And he said further that how could you say this about me, that I'm speaking in opposition to you? That's all he had to say. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his condition changed. His face became worried, his body started to shake, he started to be concerned, and suddenly his tune changed. And he said, Umar, please forgive me. SubhanAllah, that's it. Second statement was this. He forgot about what they were discussing, what he said or didn't say. Umar, please forgive me. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, no, I will not forgive you. He said, Umar, please forgive me. He started to plead, beg. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, I will not forgive you. Allahu Akbar. What a great Sahabi. Then he said again, please, do you forgive me? Or shall I go to the court of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Maybe then something will occur. Something positive will come back. He said, okay, fine, go there. Go there. But I will not forgive you. That was it. That was enough for him to... Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he suddenly stood up, and in that condition he got up concerned, like a person mad. And his sheet fell on the ground, and he was upset, his face changed, he trembled, he went towards the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was walking behind, and he went, and from far, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw, he said to one companion, looks like amongst these two today there's a difference that has taken place, looks like there's a bit of a clash. And both came, and soon as he came, he didn't say anything. No second statement. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even ask him. He said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell Umar to forgive me. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet ﷺ looked towards Hazrat Umar. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, what has happened, Umar? What's occurred? And he said that, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, that will Umar not forgive him? SubhanAllah. Will Umar not forgive him? If Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him, then can I not forgive him? I said in the beginning I will forgive him. But I wanted to see that how far would he go. I wanted to see my companion that how far would he go. So look at the difference between the two. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was asked that you are so upset and feeling down. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on this point you became extremely distressed and sad and upset and concerned and worried. And then Umar radiallahu anhu replied that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if before forgiveness, if maut came, then what would happen to me? Allahu Akbar. Look at the statement. That if by not giving forgiveness and my maut came before that, then what would happen to me? Where would I go? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is saying this. And from here we need to think that such a great human being, and in his eyes, was this anything? Was this significant? Could he worry? Would this have affected him? This was just a minor discussion. If he didn't forgive, okay, Allah's forgive me, my status is high, is every good deed Allahu Akbar, nothing could compare to his deeds and the qurb and the nearness with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the good news that had been given to him. But he had so much khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala that this one sin he considered as a very big sin, that my situation is very negative, I won't be forgiven now, I won't be let off, Allah will grant me. So with this tariqah he ran to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that if he doesn't forgive me today, then I'm finished. I'm finished. I've gone. I'll be finished with. I'll be in the wrong position. So this is the feeling and emotion when a person should feel when he sins or she sins. If this can be created with an ascent, it should, because this is the basis of iman. Then tell me, in our lives, can any difficulties arise? Every sin, if we analyze it and compare it to ourselves and think that this is such a big sin that I've performed. And the reverse of this one is what? That we go to the opposite side. And rather than considering and analyzing the sin, we take hold of a good deed and we bury the sin. No, I've done this now, I've done that, I've prayed salah, I've done good deeds. And due to the good deeds, we try to hide and sweep the sin under the carpet. But that sin will demonstrate its effect. It will take its true form and shape. And it will demonstrate that to the individual. It will spread the disasters. It will spread the problem, sin. It destroys homes. It destroys businesses. It will make a person's life general. It will make children disobedient. All of this that's happening in our homes, outside, etc., this is all due to the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if a sin is taking place at home, then what's the sin? That Allah ta'ala has disliked. That's happening. We're watching. What's happening? That we prayed salah, we think we're fine. We've recited our Quran, we've done actions that we think are pious. Will that annihilate the sin? No, it will never remove the sin. So shaitan and nafs, do not let us feel that there's no bigger example than this, that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that if we compare to him, that this small disagreement and how he took it as a big deal, and really he should have, as he did, alhamdulillah. Now think for a moment. And Abu Dawud and Nasai, they have narrated hadith with regards to sins. But let me say this first, that this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his thinking. And he went to the extreme and said, forgive me. He's not asking us, because this is Allah's hukam. That if you said something to somebody negative, then ask him for forgiveness. And Allah says, then I will forgive you. And we, with regards to dunya, our tongue, I don't know, what is our tongue, what way does it hold? That to give somebody pain in their heart, then that person, he needs to get the forgiveness. For example, if I say something to you and I have doubt that you took what I said bad, and if you don't ask for forgiveness from that person, then how will you succeed? But forgiveness, only that person can ask, alhamdulillah. Only that person can get to that level. Inside him or her, there's an acceptance that there's hellfire, I'm going to get the punishment for it. And due to this sin, my business will go downhill, my children will be disobedient. And haram, one morsel of haram, it can destroy the generations. Remember this, it can spoil the generations of the family. But when we're earning haram and eating haram, we don't have any feeling or remorse. That's it. We just suppress it. I do dhikr, I do good actions. Totally not. This is incorrect. This is a wrong ideology. Look, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us many examples, but just two sins and the reactions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the effects of sins. That one sin, that where, for example, there's the breaking of promises. Where there is the breaking of promises, when a person does that, what's the reaction of that sin? Listen. The reaction of breaking promises is that fasad, fighting, quarreling, disputes, divorces, problems, difficulties immediately will come there. In the home, in the city, in the village, in the country. That maashara, society is destroyed. That home is destroyed. So to break the promise, to make somebody a promise and then to break it. Do we have any feeling for this? The biggest breaking of promise is what? That is present in every home. What is that? The biggest breaking of the promise, that we have made a promise to Allah. The biggest promise. To disobey Allah. When a person disobeys Allah, then he's breaking the promise to Allah. So when a person breaks his promise to Allah with a sin, then how can that person get success? It's impossible. The effects of that sin They have spread out in our homes, in our bodies, in our families, and no ibadah can save a person from the ill effects. This talking about the Quran, Allah says, this water, it will quench your thirst. It cannot be that the water doesn't quench your thirst. Can it be? Of course it will. The sun, the rays of the sun will come onto your body and give you heat. So can anyone dare to say, I want to have cooling effects, or let me sit in front of the sun, I'll become cool? Can he? Never will he. Never. So if Allah Ta'ala said that these are the effects of cold, these are the effects of heat, will give you heat or cold. Same way sin, if Allah Ta'ala has put effects of a sin, that when he commits a sin, it's one sin. And then all of the sins have the effects, singing, dancing, interest, and doing wrong, eating wrong, etc. All have the effects, the negative effects. We say, what do I do? I don't do anything. Why is there facade in my home? Why is there fighting? I've realized. Why? Because that auntie of mine, you know, she's dangerous. She's cast some magic spell on us. And she's put a taweez, an amulet, and she's put somebody after me. And I wasn't sick like this, or this person was sick like this. This is the reason. Let's go to the magician, to the amil. And this sin makes people mushrikeen. Mushrik, what's a mushrik? That to cease having belief in Allah and to start believing in a human being that he will correct me or he will give me shifa. So tell me, is this not correct? No. So this is very important. And we say, no, if you go to this person, he'll give you a formula. And if you do this action, this will make you successful. One is doing dua through a pious person, somebody good. And one is going to the amils, to the magics, to correct your issues. And that's shirk that's taking place. And he doesn't know if there's anyone who will tell that person, maybe he'll remind him. But only if that person has khawf. Otherwise, he cannot have khawf. It cannot be that person is corrected. No, he's corrected many other people and he'll help me. He will help me as well. Why? First and foremost, Allah Ta'ala says, there is a reason that the verse of the Quran rejects this notion, doesn't it? Allah Ta'ala says that the Quran that I've revealed, I've given shifa to those and rahmah, my mercy. What? The one verse, Allah says, even if you recite Surah Fatiha, the chapter of Surah Fatiha, any disease illness you have, you'll be cured. You'll be cured. Now I keep on reciting Surah Fatiha and the situation is getting worse. So what arrow have I struck that Surah Fatiha gives me no effect? Let me go to the amil, to the magician. He recites Surah Fatiha, gives taweez, amulet, and the effect takes place. Then that so-called teacher has become the god for that person. So we reject Surah Al-Fatiha through this section. Look, I'm telling you a deep sin here. Who are we rejecting, or what are we rejecting? Surah Al-Fatiha, the chapter of Fatiha, from our wujud. This happens regularly because our heart is spoiled, it's contaminated. Why doesn't Surah Fatiha affect our heart? It doesn't affect our heart because we ourselves are disobedient. The person who is disobedient, who eats haram, who lies, who breaks promises, who leaves salah, who commits fraud, then inside that person you can recite 1,000 Qurans, but Quran sends la'na, rich, a curse on such a person. Person is pure, clean, and as the more clean a person is when he reads Quran, then the Quran will affect that person positively. So whose fault was it when the positive effect wasn't taking place? So what we need to see, that Surah Fatiha, why isn't it affecting me in a positive way? This is the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says. So we have taken it to the other side. Now Aql should be like Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and blame ourselves straight away, immediately, quickly. Then inside me, the haram actions, I fraud, I lie. Is this a game? Is this a game? That will the Quran automatically give the cure if we don't accept this wrong? On top of that, Allah says, I'll give you a punishment, that mushrik, and you will go to magicians and have belief in them and try to get solutions, but you won't come out of that trap. Because he says, I'm fine. That person got cured, this person got cured, so why don't I get cured? I will get cured, he says. So this was the punishment for breaking promises. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, despite being the great, great sahabi he was, he wanted to correct the situation. He said that I've got such a feeling. So Abu Bakr Siddiq felt that I will be finished if I don't get forgiven. So Hazrat Umar, why didn't he immediately forgive him? There's another point, because he was a great companion. And look at his style. Look at his style. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why should I not forgive Abu Bakr Siddiq? How can I not forgive him? How can I dare not to forgive him? What was it that he said? What was the effect? Subhanallah. He said that today he got stuck with me. Today he's stuck with me. He's not a person who gets stuck easily. So today he came into my grip. Look at his deeds, they're so great. Look at my deeds, they don't even compare. Today his hand got trapped. So I thought, okay, let me elevate his sin, goodness and purity even more, so that alhamdulillah he can be useful for me in the hereafter. Look at the thinking of both great personalities. Why? Because they realize that when a person becomes remorseful and has regret on his sins, then the more he stays in that position, Allah will continue to increase his status and level. Subhanallah. So a person can sin, but sin creates two effects. Either the sin will throw us into Jahannam, hellfire, or if we reform, then it can take us to the highest level in Jannah, to Allah Ta'ala's Qurb. So if a person does sin now, does an action, a bad action, then if nafs and shaitan make him feel that he's fine, he's not done wrong, then he'll be Jahannami. But if he has regret, feels remorse, he says, oh, I've done something very wrong indeed. How did I say this to this person? All night long he'll stay awake and cry that I want to ask you forgiveness. How did I do this sin? And if regret and remorse stays in that person's heart, then Allah says, I will continue to make that person beloved to me, beloved to me. That he knows Allah is present, I'll get sin for this. And he feels shame and remorse due to the sin. This is a very great action. Person can make mistakes. So these were great personalities, great Sahaba, great Sahabi. And what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give his reward to both companions when he saw this? It was a great reward by seeing both. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to smile, beautiful smile, and the Jannah was made. That's all they needed. That the smile of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is enough that our hearts both were satisfied. So these are my wazir, said Nabi al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that these two are my wazir, Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq and Hazrat Umar. In this world they're with me, in ease they're with me, in hardship they're with me, we will wake up together, they'll be on my right and left, they'll be with me on the bridge of Sirat. And also they will have palaces in Jannah with me. So one of both companions. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that breaking the promise, what are the effects? That when you see this facade, arguing, fighting, children are disobedient, they're whistling, answering back, salat time, he's walking this way, that way, they're playing games. Consider straight away that my rizq is not halal. My earnings are not halal. Look at the hadith. That we say, no, we believe in the hadith. This is from hadith. The rizq is not halal. It cannot be that if a person has rizq haram, he cannot have satisfaction in home. He'll have banks full with balances of money, but there'll be destruction all round in that home. And to the generations. See, in front of you, you have the generation in front of you. It can never be that in his home, you'll see someone who sail or something good. You can make them hafidh, qari, whatever. But thief. And it will go the opposite way, the flip way. So there will not be. So what do we need to see? That when this consequence arises, that the effects arise, don't look left, right and center. Rather do what? Look inside yourself in the mirror. That what sins am I committing? This is due to my sins. This punishment is due to my sins, that my children have become disobedient, my daughter is disobedient, my son is disobedient. I did this and I did that. I tried to improve them. See, he was an abid, he read Quran, and we did this, etc. No way. It cannot be, because the effect of the sin will definitely take place. If today, not that maybe in your young age you did something haram, you may have lied, committed fraud, or deceived somebody. One penny of somebody's, if you consume, Allahu Akbar, then 10,000 pennies, forget that, upon your children. So big a title of curse, a curse would be thrown onto the children. And this is the consequence of breaking the promises. But what a great statement and teaching. So when a person does this, then this is what the hal is. Fahashi, and a person becomes immodest. And where there's immodesty, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, what is hidden within immodesty? Listen. Where there's immodesty in any home, in that village, in the city, in the country, then what are the effects? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in Nasai, Hakim, Abu Dawood, the ulama ikram, the respected scholars are present. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is the result that comes out immediately? The ajeeb, unique illnesses start to take place in the children, in the home, in the wife, in the children. such sicknesses, unless the doctor says we don't know, and even then the mushrik, he does the same action, he goes towards amil, and the magicians in hiding, he does this, that I don't want anybody to find out I'm doing this, because these are our gods, and that Allah Ta'ala makes that person a mushrik. So that sickness, if we extract it, remove it, that these are the consequences of fahashi, Allah immediately will start to give His rahmah, His mercy, because a person has turned to the good. So where there's fahashi, where there's immodesty, where there's wrong, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that these are wrong, these are haram. What are you doing in your homes? You've got these products, singing and dancing and music is running and you're taking part. Fahashi, immodesty is so common, such death will take place, a person while he's sitting, he'll evaporate. My daughter will say, where's my father? And the son will say, where's my father? But remember, Allah is great and He forgives and is merciful on the mu'mineen. Allah gives the sicknesses first. Such ajeeb sicknesses, when these ajeeb sicknesses start to come, the doctor say, we don't know what's going on, how did this happen, why did it happen, what's the cure for this, this will happen, now straight away understand that from Allah the warning has started to come. The next step will be maut for that person, maut, that Allah Ta'ala says that this is what the next step will be. So there's no cure from the doctor or the amils, there's one cure. What is that? And a high quantity of istighfar, high quantity of asking Allah for forgiveness and tawbah from the sins, and if you sit in the company of the waliyullah, then the dhikr of Allah, and you make your heart, and all of these things will happen, your heart will be made positive and you will have khawf in Allah. These things can occur. So the sign of the heart being made also, the pious elders have stated, that they've also said the sign of dhikr is my dhikr going positively. And when your feeling starts to arise, that you start to analyze your sins, that I've done this mistake today, I've done this mistake today, I've committed a sin. And before you lie down on the bed in the night, you should not feel that I am guaranteed and I've passed the test. No, you should have the intention, I want to eliminate these sins. This is the life of the abideen, the Salihin, upright mu'min. When a person lives a life like this, then alhamdulillah, then a person realizes that in the akhirah Allah will give merciful and His karam and His grace. He'll be worthy of it. But we cannot succeed by a fake drama. This will not have a good effect on us. You're committing sins, you're praying salah, and you're a gangster eating haram and doing wrong and this way and that way, everywhere doing wrong. We've mixed and contaminated our deen. So much have we mixed the deen and destroyed the deen that we cannot imagine how much we've mixed it and destroyed the deen. We cry, we complain in the whole world, Muslims, that today they are crying and complaining. The amount of Muslims that complain today we have not have seen before today. Allah says that their hisab is separate. But today our homes, our wife, children, offspring, our awlad, relatives, we're destroyed. But we become so immodest in following nafs and shaitan, we don't even think for a moment about these points. The thought doesn't arise, and that sickness is coming, difficulties come, we keep on persevering, but we never thought that what's the reason for this? What's the reason for all of this? Let's go towards Allah. Let's travel towards Allah. Let's turn towards Allah. And we need to leave our sins. And there's no wazifa for this, there's no cure for this, nothing at all. There's only one cure, to reject the sins. Consider that there's a reason why I'm committing the sins, and the effect of the sins is taking place upon me. It's not a jinn, it's not a ghost, it's not some Holy Spirit. It's the sin that takes the negative consequence. So what's happened to us? I think that I heard there's a child 12 years old, and the parents are saying that, why don't you have a boyfriend? They're saying to their daughter. And this is Muslims, I'm talking about Muslims. They're saying to their daughter, the parents, that why don't you get a boyfriend? And will you be surprised with what I'm saying? This is common. Common. That, my daughter, why haven't you got a boyfriend now? Why haven't you got a boyfriend up to now? And my son, why haven't you got a girlfriend? And if somebody's, well, it's okay, it happens in university, they're going to college, studying. That's what our daughter will do. We'll have to do this, isn't it? We can't live our lives with just hiding in the corner. How can we live? Sustain, oh, my daughter, she's working in a place where alcohol is served. So she's got to have a job. She was an alima. Yes, she is an alima, but we've got to live in the real world, isn't it? So this is astaghfirullah, Rabbi min kulli dhanbin. This is such a big sign of qiyamah, my friends, big sign of karamah, that we are stood at this crossroads and we don't understand what's compulsory for us. That we just have temporary things, we hear speeches and traditional life, custom. You understand what I'm saying? Sati. I don't know what's the English for it. Custom. General, traditional. It's a general deen we're following. A traditional deen or a custom deen. or a second nature deen. We could say that, for example, if we look inside ourselves just for a few moments, it would be very difficult if our rizq halal will come out from our earnings. Rizq halal. Halal earnings. Lawful earnings. So brothers, this is the point that we need to understand. These are the points that I'm trying to present at your service. It's not difficult. It's not hard to follow the deen. Just one say end of it. Finished. I eliminate this. And this is called after iman. After having belief in the mu'min, the biggest asset is what? The good point. And he cannot be a mu'min without this. He cannot succeed in the journey. He cannot travel on this journey. Without this, he cannot be a mu'min. Where Allah Ta'ala says mu'min and mu'minat, what is due to this quality attribute, otherwise he doesn't have iman at that time. First and foremost, after having iman, we must have this quality. If we don't have this, then he has no link with anything. What is that? Tawakkaltu ala Allah, to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if I've said Allah, my Lord, my Creator, if I've said Allah, and then what is left after that? Allahu Akbar. In other words, what does it mean? Allah, you are mine. You are my Lord. You will give rizq. You will rear me up. You will give me rewards. I will obey you and you will listen to me. Subhanallah. When this feeling arises, Allah Ta'ala says, now you have become the mu'min or mu'minat. So will you become a mu'min through halal meat? Tell me, how much tawakkal we have in Allah, trust in Allah, reliance on Allah. That all the things I've said, that person who commits sins, because he doesn't have tawakkal, he doesn't have trust in Allah, faith in Allah. So tawakkal, how can a mu'min not have tawakkal? Allah says the meaning of a person who's a mu'min is that you have said Allah. And after saying Allah, then stick to what you've said, that Allah, you are everything for me. You are everything for me. When we, despite saying Allah, a person that says Allah and he doesn't have tawakkal, then his consequence will be the opposite. Do we know what the Quran says? Two words Allah Ta'ala has utilized in the Quran, mu'min, mu'minat, and then Allah Ta'ala has related the incident that what will these people be? An ajeeb place where this incident takes place. That one gets the reward, one gets the punishment. Their shan will be what? Subhanallah. Different verses, and especially in this great place, on the bridge of Sirat, when a mu'min and a mu'minat, when they cross over, then the bridge of Sirat, there's an extreme darkness there, obviously. There will be darkness there in the hereafter. There will be so much darkness that a person cannot imagine. And then we have to cross that, me and you, that will be thin as a hair and razor sharp as a sword. There's Jahannam underneath, and people will be getting cut and falling into Jahannam. And you'll have to travel in the darkness and nothing to protect. The feet, nothing. There will be a lion. This time is coming, my brothers. This time is coming. We are enjoying our lives, our world, and the Quran has promised that, my Mahbub, I swear by your life, that these people are enjoying their state of drunkenness in the world. What do they know of what they are doing? They cannot understand. So Allah Ta'ala says, the mu'min, mu'minat, that when they cross the bridge of Sirat, subhanallah, then what will occur? They won't have figure. They won't have worry, because they were mu'min. They had iman in me. Allah will say, I've told you who's a mu'min, isn't it? La ilaha illallah. After that, straight away to have tawakkal Allah, and a person who has tawakkal Allah, he will never commit sins, he won't consume haram, nor will he go towards bad. He will say, whatever occurs, it's from Allah. That's it, end of story. Whatever circumstances I'm in, it's from Allah. And I cannot break my promise that I've made to Allah. No. Keep sitting. Say subhanallah. So this is what we need to understand. What's the result? Where will the result come out? Few days in the dunya, you practice this, I swear by Allah. Few days you practice in the world, I swear by Allah, that everyone's beard, somebody's black or white or different colors, or there's a bit of color. But just tell me, if you bow your head, it's like we've just heard this from today or yesterday. I swear by Allah. Nobody will remember that this much of our life has passed. We'll say, this many years have gone. 50 years, 40 years, this much, tell me. Even now, if you meet people after 30s, oh, don't say that. What's happened to you? No, mashallah, you're old now. And I can't even recognize you. Even at the just after 30, when he says what his name is, then we'll realize. For example, we think we'll stay the same. This is a dream. So quick is that time to come, my friends, that we'll be on the bridge of Sirat. So we need to have an understanding. How do we approach this? If we've said Allah and we believe in Allah, those people who've said Allah and they believe in Allah, says, who will these people be? Then where will they get the reward for this? Not in the dunya, where? That when that opportunity comes, people will be dying, and then Allah has drawn a sketch a spiritual sketch of the Quran, tafsir, I'm telling you, what will happen is that when those people, the good people, cross the bridge of Sirat, then there will be a light with those people, subhanAllah. They'll be in front of them and to the right, not to the left. Allah has not mentioned this, to the front, to the right. And there will be such a strong light that they will cross the bridge of Sirat with the guidance of light, with smiling and happiness. So stay to the next qawm, the next nation, who said what about themselves? Muslim, la ilaha illallah, they recited, obviously, because they weren't people without iman. But inside them, they didn't have tawakkal Allah. They had tawakkal in dunya. They had the trust and reliance in the dunya. They were afraid of hunger or being without clothes. They were afraid of society. What will happen to us? We will be the poorest and we don't have anything. We won't have anything. And this fear and this scary feeling running through will make those people do wrong. Or you understand what I'm saying? Or do you feel sleepy? Say subhanAllah. So khawf makes a person forget. Allah Ta'ala says that you've got a son or a daughter, but you had khawf that if I don't give him a profession or her profession, if I don't make them study, where will he eat from? Where will he sustain his expenses from? If by chance if he does that and becomes a professional, then same figure. That she's become an alima, where will she eat from? Where will she get married? Quickly send her to a university. Quickly send her to a university with this khawf and this fear. This is wrong. And who are these people? They said Muslim, but inside they were what? Not Muslims. They were not Muslims. The Quran is saying this, I'm not saying this. Pick up the Quran. Allah is saying they were munafiqeen. Munafiqeen men and munafiqeen women. So who's Allah mentioning? Mu'min men and mu'min women. And after that, the second level who came, the munafiq men, munafiq women, they said they are believers in Him, but they did everything against Allah. Their life, all, you go to their home, outside, top to toe, everything. They said, oh, it's okay, we can do this. What can I do? I'm stuck in a problem. We're stuck in the dunya. What will be their hal? It's stated, what will they say when they will see those people who have light with them, assisting them? They'll say to them, Yar, my friend, that you live with us in the world and you lived in the same vicinity, I lived in that same vicinity, and you had this place and I had that place. Please care for us, we recognize you there. Please shine a bit of your light onto us as also. We can cross the bridge of Sirat with ease. The Quran is saying this. So what answer will he give? SubhanAllah, what a great answer he'll give. And this answer is such that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that we, if we listen to this, we can correct ourselves today. So he Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you want to take this light, then you get this from behind. SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. And it's not today we've got this light. It's not here that Allah Ta'ala has given this. This light was prepared from before. And this was attained before. When the dhikr majlis, when you went there, that's where you got the light. SubhanAllah. That when you used to crush your desires and go and pray Fajr, Salah and Jama'at, that's where you used to get this light. Okay? Let's go further. Because there are different lights. Somebody's will be weak, somebody's will be fast, somebody will have light. Some people won't have any light. Why? Because the more light you took from this gathering, he stated that you used to get the light from the gathering after Fajr, Ishraq, you sat down. After that you did Dhikr. After Fajr you sat down and did Dhikr. After doing Dhikr, Ishraq, you prayed. Then straight from there the lights will be gathered and collected and given to that person. That we thought that this is playing games, this is nothing. That, oh, we're doing too much. No, you see, now you realize what you're doing. These people behind you, and now you won't get this. This is finished now. That generator that was made, Amal. SubhanAllah, all the sins are there. And we used to do wrong with Amal. So brothers, do we want to cross the bridge of Sirat? Or do we not want to cross the bridge of Sirat? We want to. Then, what should we do? Yes, so, let's listen now. And he will realize, are we munafiqs or are we true mu'min? SubhanAllah. If we are true mu'mins, then every action will analyze that this time's about to come, hereafter I need to prepare for it. But what do we say? That we are ready to earn the dunya, but we don't prepare for thereafter. We say give priority to the dunya, and the rest we'll see afterwards what we need to do. Otherwise, if we had this iman, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his condition, that clothes, he shrugged off his sheet and he went to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's company. He thought, only here I can become successful. He went straight. He didn't think, etc. He said that, please give me forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. It's so much khawf and fear of Allah at that time. So today we should have that much passion and desire that the means that Allah Ta'ala has created for us to attain the light for the hereafter, we should be running around and wake up your children for the sake of Allah. Sit here. No, no, no. Oh, no, no, don't wake them up. They've got to go to school. Well, they need to do other things. Oh, let them go to school. Don't disturb him. We just need to do any worship and then see what will the children do after some time, what they do with you. See in the homes what the children do? Oh, go do your own thing. Don't tell me what to do. The children say, nobody listens. Nobody listens. Nobody obeys. Then what do we say? Oh, what should we do now? Let's go to Hazrat Sahib and ask for taweez or amulet. Oh, I heard there's a man, he corrects the children, forms the children. Please, have you got taweez or some water you can blow on and give to me to correct my children? Same way, the same people on the bridge of Surat will say, give us a bit of your light so we can cross. Allah said this in the Quran. Today there is time. There's a lot of time with the Fadal wa. Let's just do one action. Allahu Akbar. Do tawbah yourself, make your children repent, honest forgiveness, and take all bad products out of the home, bad actions, for the sake of Allah. Just like as soon as the good, as the wrong things and the haram things come out of the house, then problems will end, illnesses will go, and excessive spending will finish. You know, the extra spending we do totally will finish. I swear by Allah, on £10 you will run your home, a £10 budget. I've sworn, isn't it? I've promised, I haven't lied. And such your house will run. You'll be amazed at how is this happening. Where am I eating from? Where am I drinking from? Where, how am I paying these bills, etc. from Allah? So much barakah will come, blessings that don't even ask. You don't even need to run the budget. You don't even need to do the counting. You won't cry when you see people are good and they are persevering. You won't cry. They don't think in the dunya, they don't doubt, they don't think twice about doing good. And, oh, it's become so expensive, this now, I can't spend this. But they don't know what's expensive, what's cheap, what they need to eat. Allah Ta'ala gives to them, alhamdulillah, Allah gives them the sustenance. If it's expensive or cheap, whatever, but we're getting it, we have no worry, we have no care. Alhamdulillah, because Allah is providing. So this is how good the life should be, alhamdulillah. Such a beloved life. Live in a good way, Allah is giving, Allah is providing. You're satisfied, no illness, no problem, no difficulty. Even if physical illnesses come, they come and go, alhamdulillah. If we pick something up and say bismillah and eat it, then the shifa will be given. Subhanallah. This is not a shaitani illness, it's a physical illness, Allah has given it. And for this reason, because Allah wants to elevate your status, then if you persevere, you will gain, you'll benefit. And get a halal medicine, say Allah wants to elevate my status. So Hazrat Al-Asab, alhamdulillah, and he had some illness, he had an operation, he had belt, 1, 2, 3 different types, and 2 hours I was sat next to that Wali of Allah, this is a Darvish in Pakistan. And he was sat there, Farooqi Sahib, make some tea, I'll give you some tea. And he had no feeling, and when he got up, I saw his belt on his waist. I said, what happened? No, I had an operation yesterday, a small operation. And the neighbor said that these things came out of the stomach. He had some illness, and the doctor said to him with a strictness that stay sitting, but he's still doing his work and like his tafsir of Quran that he would write daily or regularly. Subhanallah. He said, no, nothing's happened. It's fine. I'm okay. Allah Ta'ala will give me health. I said, no, shall I help you? He said, no, let me give you some dates of Medina. Leave this. Don't worry about the belts. You can see it's an operation. Don't know how long he had them. And there were ants in those dates. What? Salah. Sada and clean, pure heart. He said, no. He blew on them. Eat them, Medina dates, and you'll get cured straight away. Subhanallah. What a darvish, a wali wala. He was small straw mat, and he was sitting on that. And then, listen clearly. When I went last time, I thought I would meet Hazrat. I said, what's happened here? And that place he had gone, he had passed away and gone to Allah. And that place we used to sit, there was a masjid. People praying salat. Allahu Akbar. I said, what's happened here? And they said that it was his final moments. He said, don't give this house to anyone. There's no dependent. And give this for the sake of Allah. And where I used to live, make it a masjid. Subhanallah. There was a salah there, masjid. What a great sadqa jari he had given. I said, okay, for example, if I couldn't meet him, let me go to the graveyard. When I went to the graveyard, a great Naqshbandi Sheikh of Pakistan, many a great Sheikh would pass away. And there he had a place in the graveyard next to the Naqshbandi Sheikh. And you can find places for people to be buried. And when I went there, his grave was next to that great Sheikh. Great achievement. This is called the rewards Allah Ta'ala gives. Who are these people? Those people who were stood firm in front of Allah Ta'ala and in the way they wanted to obey Allah. That's how they were firm. That Allah, we won't disobey you. Thousands of illness that could come, problems can come, but we will not disobey you. So my brothers, that shall I summarize everything what we've discussed today so that you can understand, because it's all about understanding. Number one is that whatever disasters come around in our life, they come and they will come again. The reason for this is due to our sins. And there's only one cure, is tawbah, to repent. And that's it, and you'll be successful. in this world and in the hereafter. Never have yaqeen, I've read this much Quran, this many sabaras, I've done this. No, look for these actions, that what sins are taking place in my home. Did I lie today? Did I commit sins today? Did I eat haram morsels today? Did I do fraud to somebody? Look for these deeds and leave them. Leave ibadat. Leave worship. Yes, there's farad, we have to pray, we have to do these actions, there's shughal. And don't think that you'll be forgiven due to the faraid actions. Leave these and continue to do them. Allah is pleased when Allah's disobedience does not take place, when we don't sin. Then that's when Allah is happy. We should emphasize on this. Otherwise, Allah, if Allah Ta'ala wanted to give us a response, then Allah, if Allah wanted us to emphasize on worship, Allah would make tahajjud fard and salah. He'd give us every year do hajj, and every other second, third month it will be Ramadan. No, Allah said do five times these five pillars of ibadah, that's enough. And if fasting month comes, fast. And if hajj time comes, go once in your life, if you can afford it. And give more emphasis on the deeds and akhlaq that from your tongue. Even a small abuse of a word or wrong word should not come out or emanate and be used in a wrong way. Here, we emphasize on ibadah, but Allah Ta'ala doesn't do that. We take this out, do this nafal salah, pray this nafal, read that, pray, recite all of these things. But you are making that effort dust. That the Allah Ta'ala says, don't do this action. We have to obey this. But we don't emphasize on this, and this is the biggest deception we're in today. So let's do dua to Allah, that Allah gives us understanding and aqal, and we still got life. We just do true tawbah, repent after today, let's weigh our sins, analyze our sins. Allah won't do this. We say with pride, oh, I'm trying, but I can't stop the sins. I'm trying. Oh, I do zina with my eyes, I'm trying. Allahu Akbar, you're trying? Yes, you could hang yourself upside down from the feet. From your feet and give yourself punishments, give yourself endurance tests. Why am I not leaving the sins? I'm a munafiq, a hypocrite. And Allah said about the hypocrites that this will be the hal on the day of judgment. Yes? Then, for example, how will we then be begging people for light, light, light? And Allah will say, throw them into Jahannam, into the hellfire. So this is what we need to think. Isn't this, we need to look towards positive productivity. We say, no, five times salah is enough. There are many hadith. MashaAllah, the people come, O Prophet of Allah, so what should we do? What deed should we do? And the Prophet said, pray, do the five pillars. And look, when he was going back, he said, there's a jannati. He's in paradise. He didn't say, do this and that. No, put more courage, determination on leaving sins. I won't eat haram, I won't give haram to my children, we won't speak haram, there won't be haram things in our house. Everything, these are all idols that are stood in comparison to Allah and His Rasul. Say, la, la. Say no. The question doesn't arise. No wazifa, nothing, no amil, no magician. I give you a guarantee, all will make you mushrik and will take you towards shirk. Nothing can give success, nothing. And we will stay the same. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you, mashallah, you are pious. I'm just speaking generally, that may Allah Ta'ala elevate your status, may Allah Ta'ala remove my sins. And for the whole ummah, let's do dua, that the disaster that's befalling us, shaitan has put us to sleep. We don't know what's going on in our homes, in our families. We do sins. We don't think that what's happening. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Ameen.